Hey everyone, this is Dominique, and if you're ready to get better results with your life and your money, I want you to stay tuned. If you've ever shared finances with anybody, especially in the context of marriage, you know how difficult it may be to communicate sometimes. So today we're going to take a real deep dive into marriage and finances with my special guest. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hey, we're back. This is Dominique with DJH Capital Management, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management. And we are experiencing financial contentment with yours truly because we are here to do more with your life and with your money. And I like to say that financial contentment is all about putting your money where your heart is. If you're tired of doing more and having less, if you're weary of the rat race and you're unsatisfied with the status quo, and you're ready to take that red pill to leave the matrix of average, this is the podcast for you. So today we're in the live chat on Facebook. Join us, high five us, give us some love. No peaches, all happiness, all love. And, you know, hey, we're going to be here answering your questions. You can throw those in the live chat. If we don't get a chance to get to those, we will definitely answer those during the week. And I would like to just implore you to like and share the podcast. Let me hear from you. If you have any feedback or questions, there's a feedback at djhendersonsr.com to get you to participate with us. So we can get you those better results with your life and with your money. So today we're going to be talking about something very interesting, and I do have a very special guest today. If you've ever shared finances with somebody, especially in the context of marriage, I talk about this in my ebook, but I didn't really get to flesh it out because I didn't have my better half here. And so we want to welcome to the podcast Miss Queen Bee, Brianna Henderson. How you doing, baby?
Come on now. I'm doing all right, sir. What about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. You sound good and you look even better.
Well,
so,
you know, I try. You know, I'm excited to be on a podcast. I was interested in your earlier statement, no peaches. What is that about?
So, you know, on Facebook Live, they have that little thing. Well, not Facebook Live, but like you can see the little peach.
Sure,
it looks
sure.
Like a person that looks angry. Oh. I call that a peach.
Oh, okay. As a woman, something else came to mind, but I'm glad you were talking about what you were talking about. So let's get started here today.
Well, cool. You know, so we were talking the other day.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, really kind of discussing the dynamic of finances within the marriage.
Sure.
And you brought up a really good idea because you're so much smarter than me. I joked on the podcast, but you're smarter than me.
Well, you know, it takes a real woman to stand behind a real man. What can I say about that? But I'm excited about this topic, Dominique. Seriously. We were in the car and we were actually here at the house.
We were here at the house.
And it just came to me that this is something that really needs to be discussed. And hopefully your listeners will benefit from it.
Yeah. So we want to break this up into a couple of segments. Just tell them how we're going to do this. So today we'll kind of hit the problem of how you exactly do or how you start to have that tension in the communication issues. And we have a dynamic that we're going to run through with them.
Sure,
That'll be part one. We'll handle the problem. Next segment, we'll have you back to talk about some solutions in a process. And hopefully by that time, we'll have the listeners have participated, and maybe they have some stuff they want to chime in on, and we'll use that last segment. Yes, we'll use that last segment to answer those questions, and we have a giveaway, right? So we'll save that to the end. So you got to listen to the end for that.
Sure, to the end, guys. Listen to the end.
Okay, so let's kind of break down what we would call this parent-child dynamic when it happens with finances. In the ebook, I don't call it this, but basically, you have one person that operates in one money mindset and another person that operates in another money mindset. But when you discussed this, you know, when we were discussing this the other day, you mentioned the term a parent-child dynamic. So what exactly are you talking about when you say that?
So parent and child dynamics are beautiful when you're talking about an adult with a minor, right? Okay. So as a parent, you are expected to be the one who knows all, the one who's pretty much doing all, the one who's giving all. And it's relatively okay that that child is a recipient of all, little expectation as regards to in regards to the child.
Yes.
But the problem comes when you're in a marriage and there's a parent-child relationship as it relates to the one who has or knows most about the money and then the one who is dependent or the child in the relationship.
So let's unpack that a little bit.
Yes, let's do it.
So like in our particular situation for the longest, a lot of people may not know this, but I was a sole breadwinner.
Yes.
Like, so our oldest or our youngest is 16 now. So from the time, I guess until she was like 3 or 4, you stayed at home.
I did.
So, and I was a sole breadwinner and you were the stay at home. But I think even with, as a financial advisor, I find that people that have that dynamic sometimes don't understand the, what I would call the economic value of the stay at home spouse. And so it may introduce that dynamic. What would you say to that?
No, I would agree to that. So in our situation, which is what we can honestly speak to, being a stay-at-home mom, you, even as a stay-at-home mom, may not realize the value and see yourself as a contributor and or one who is valued as it relates to money saving your household money because of what you're doing. And oftentimes, perhaps the partner in that relationship doesn't see that value, and it creates that dynamic that is unbalanced in a relationship as it relates to money.
Yeah.
And so that's what we need to clear. The dependence of that child, which should be a peer, and then the control and or unbalanced nature of, of that parent in as it relates to money.
You know, and I would just add to that, I think you make some good points in that, you know, when you're talking about, and we'll get into this in part two, but when you're in a marriage, the best way to move towards a financial goal, a mutual financial goal, is to be partners.
Yes.
Rather than the parent-child, because like you know, kind of eloquently said before, the parent is not dependent on the child. The child is dependent on the parent. And you when you make it one way like that, you cause tension and, and uneven burden.
Well, here's the thing, Dominic. It's not hot to be an adult dependent upon another adult in that way where there is no mutual benefit.
Yeah.
It's okay for there to be that strength with that partner who may be the one in control and or used to handling the finances because that's their gift.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about how we want to move from that dependent nature, which causes that friction because you don't discuss things with a child. A parent just does what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and they handle things and you have, as a child, you have to ask the parent.
Yeah.
And so
it's a little, it's a very unbalanced, lopsided relationship.
Yeah. And you know, but sometimes it kind of goes back to our upbringing. I know we talked a little bit.
That's a good segue. So that is what the parent-child dynamic it is. And we give an example of it. Okay. So let's talk about how it starts. How does that really start? Like maybe what we saw as kids, what we experienced in our own households.
I can definitely say that in my own home, I recognized that my dad.
No, when you said your own home, you mean when you were bringing?
Yes. Okay. Upbringing. My environment when I grew up, my dad was the sole breadwinner as well. My mom in and out as far as it related to working outside of the home.
Yeah.
But he was provider. He knew what was in the accounts. He knew where money was, what accounts, all of those things. And she relied on him in that regard. So I naturally did not see that as a rub and or a problem when that became the reality in my own marriage.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe just to kind of empower that person without the information that is the stay-at-home person. I mean, you know, nowadays you can, especially if you have joint accounts, you can get a log on.
Sure,
you can do these type of things. You can empower yourself. You don't have to just sit and be, quote unquote, the victim or the one that is out of the loop. And I think, you know, but to your point, that a lot of people, when you have this lens that you're looking through based on your experiences in life, you know, what your parents said about money, what the conversations were about, who handled the money, you know, and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you frame things in your own relationships that way, even though they may not be right or healthy. Would you say you would agree with that?
I would agree with that. And here's what we can also say towards that. When you're looking at the strengths that both parties hold in a marriage, the strength or the gift that lies within someone else heavily or strongly that may not be within you, it's okay to tap into, to use, to utilize.
For instance, you wouldn't try to just like take over all the finances in our house.
And I don't want to. I don't have a desire to. I don't want to log into all of that. I don't. But here's the thing. Yeah. I used to do that.
Yeah.
Dominique and I met many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the first things that we did together as a couple, I'm talking about dating each other at the age of maybe 17 or 18, we decided to get a bank account together.
Which was odd.
Which was very odd.
Our parents were like,
what are you doing? As a matter of fact, my dad said, are you sure this is what you want to do?
I never knew he said. No, I'm just playing.
You know what? Yeah, he did say that. He's very concerned. But here's the thing. What we were saying to each other in doing that was, I trust you.
Yeah.
You know, where your money is, as you said, put your money where your heart is. Yeah. Where your treasure is, so is your heart.
Yeah. Exactly.
We had a heart for each other. We had no problem with sharing funds, having our funds in one account, that kind of thing. And so we both managed the account, though, at that time, to our point.
Yeah.
Our roles slightly shifted as I became the stay-at-home mom at that time. Dominique began in the corporate world of finance. And it became natural that you started working with our finances and investments and all of that.
But to that point too. So like, let's bring some stuff in and we'll talk about this a little bit more for those that are listening. Cause we're talking about how to find harmony in your marriage with your finances.
Yes.
But you know, when you have a person like myself, not everybody's going to have a CFP or a finance major, but at the same time, Brianna still brings a lot of balance to the relationship. It's not like I carte blanche, just make decisions. It's always getting input. So that road of communication is still there because she adds way more of a qualitative input versus the quantitative. I handle the quantitative. I can do that all day. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, you still have to have a common language for you guys to communicate about.
And here's
that.
The thing, Dominique, it took us a moment to get to what you just described.
Absolutely.
You know,
this has been 20 years and counting.
Absolutely.
Right?
And when early on that parent child dynamic was a reality, because I was willing to allow you to be that person in our finances, I wasn't sure all the time what was in the account. Whatever I needed, I went to go get. I knew I could go get whatever I needed to do to get for the household, for myself, for the children, for you, that kind of thing. And but it starts to put you at what you may feel as a disadvantage if there is no communication. The one who knows is responsible for communicating what's going on, because that's the role that you play in the household.
No, yeah. The one with the information is I think, the leader. At least by default or de facto.
Sure.
I think also, you know, one of the things I was thinking about when you said that is that, you know, I don't think that the parent-child dynamic is necessarily intentional. You know, this could just be from a lack of information or tools, which is kind of one of the reasons why we're talking about this today. So you can have the tools that you need in order to kind of debunk this myth of parent-child.
Definitely.
So let's kind of wrap this up and talk about what do you limit in your relationship as far as boundaries or not potential maybe?
Yeah.
What potential are you limiting when you have this dynamic present? Would you say maybe trust is impaired, obviously?
Oh, trust is impaired. You know, as a parent, you withhold information from a child because they may not be able to handle it you find yourself shielding them or, you know, that sort of thing. So trust is definitely impaired, I would say.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe just like the whole synergy, just, you know, moving forward when you are. And this has nothing to do with like having joint or separate accounts, because that's not really the point. It's, am I moving towards a singular financial goal within this relationship? Because if you have dual goals, it's going to be really hard. I mean, you know, two visions is division.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that happens is the child in the relationship hides from the parent. If there's something that goes on wrong, absolutely. Yeah. You find yourself not being as transparent as you need to be within that marriage as it relates to finances.
So definitely the dynamic can limit you from having momentum and a singular objective.
Yeah.
And obviously all the consequences that come with that, the negative consequences that come with that would be, misplaced trust, bitterness. I mean, when you don't have accountability, especially around finances, that could be the reason for the tension and, people splitting up, right?
Sure, absolutely. And trust is a big thing. I talked about earlier how we had trust because we obviously put together our finances early on, even before we were married. Mm-hmm. But in there, you have to note that person still has the best interest for you. They have best interest for the family, that kind of thing. And money is a great revealer with that. And so when you talk about trust and money, you can definitely see where you stand, both of you.
So let's give a little bonus here on that, just because. So let's just say to the person out there that's listening, the couple, the marriage that's listening, and maybe not at the point that we're at, because mm-hmm. we've been very blessed. What are some ways that you would say, I think you just kind of alluded to them, but what are some ways that you could start to replace or restore trust? Because you just mentioned, like sometimes when the trust is broken or misplaced, then you're at this point of where do I go from here? Yeah. Like, what would be your suggestions on stuff like that? Because like we've had that instance where you were feeling like a little while ago, you were feeling like I didn't have, like I was trying to withhold information from you, like that you had access to, and it's just really a communication issue. But we're kind of looking in what we've kind of dealt with and what other people we've heard of dealt with, what I've seen, things like that. What would be some of your suggestions on getting the trust restored?
Yeah. So trust is restored by doing actions that are right over a period of time. Right.
Okay.
And so if there were some things, some misconceptions, some actual things that were done on the part of the person who held the knowledge regarding the money, if there is a parent-child dynamic there, be transparent. That person needs to come clean. If there are instances where there was fear regarding the money and
that
way
was my deal.
And we handle and look at money differently. And so there is one who may feel like, let's save it. And then there's one that's like, money will come as it comes. Let's spend it. Let's live for today.
Yeah.
And so you have to restore that trust. You have to be clear about your expectations in regards to money. You have to talk about how those coincide since you are in a marriage. And you have to believe that person is willing to work with you towards that given end. And that's what we do. We work toward a given end.
Cool. Well, let me give you guys a couple of offers. So the ebook that we've basically been getting this kind of, you're pulling this discussion out of, I would love for you to download it so that for the next one, you can track along a little bit better with us. It's 3 simple steps to achieve your ideal financial outcome. I've put what I feel, in 2 decades, tried to put it in, a short, palatable read for you. In one sitting, you go to djhendersonsr.com/ebook to download, or you can visit our Facebook page, Dominique Henderson CFP, and you can click the little button that says, I think, get started now or something like that, and you can get a copy there too. So want you to download that for the next session. That way you can participate along. Now, Brianna, what are we going to do for the people that are participating with us, maybe sending in some of their questions, whether they be anonymous or not? What did we say that we were going to do for them?
Well, and we definitely want you guys to go ahead and prepare those questions for us. It is our hope that within the 20 years plus of marriage and or some of the things that we've experienced with our other couple friends, that we are of help in some sort of way.
Oh, yeah.
So what we decided was, since we're here in Dallas, Texas, and the Mavericks are also a team that root for.
We know they're not that good this year.
Hey, are we ride or die? Or are we going to be
ride or die? Mav fans for life, baby.
Well, come
MFFL.
On now. Come on, people. So Dallas, and you know, it's all about the experience. Go with your spouse and talk about money matters and what you're gonna buy
some
while you're there.
Some expensive food.
Sure.
Or eat before you get there if you're trying to balance your budget.
But you gotta negotiate, you eat some for you get a dessert or a drink while you're there.
Yeah,
you know?
that's where you do it. That's
what
you
do.
Okay, so this is how it works.
Yeah.
There's an email address below the screen, feedback@djhendersonsr.com. Send your questions for us to address on the show. And your email will enter you into a raffle for 2 platinum level Mavs tickets.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right. So if you send that back, send your feedback or your questions back, we'll address those on the show. That enters you into a chance to get those tickets. Now, it's only one entry per person. I want to make it fair. So you can send 20 questions or 20 emails, mm-hmm. but that's only one entry.
Sure, okay? Sure.
You got to make it fair. So that's how that's going to work. You think that's cool, B?
I do.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much for listening and watching today. If you have any more questions, you can obviously or go to our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the channel on YouTube. You can also go to djhendersonsr.com. But again, thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.